Our text today invites us to think about the condition of our heart. Jesus tells a story, and it's one that his first hearers could picture easily. A sower walks into the field and scatters seed. Some lands where the ground has been packed hard, some lands where soil is shallow, some lands where thorns already have a head start, some lands in good soil and produces a harvest. It's a simple story, but it reaches beneath the surface of every life. This parable comes after Jesus has been teaching and healing and forgiving and calling people into the kingdom. Some people have received him with faith. Others have resisted him, questioned him, or accused him. Matthew wants us to see that the problem is not the weakness of God's word. The seed is good. The sower is generous. The difference is in the soil. Jesus is not giving us labels for other people. Understand this. This isn't about others. Jesus is asking us to examine our own hearts. God's word is generously scattered. But discipleship asks us to tend the soil of our own hearts. Listen as I read, or read along with me in Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9, and then I'm going to skip down to verses 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear." Now down to verse 18. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Now, most of us have seen what happens when ground is neglected. It may not look terrible at first. A few weeds show up. The dirt gets packed down where people keep walking. Rocks rise after a rain. Thorny vines take hold along the edge. Nothing dramatic happens in one day, but over time, the ground becomes harder to work. If you want something good to grow there, you can't just throw seed and walk away. The soil needs attention. And this is the picture that Jesus gives us. A farmer goes out to sow. The seed lands in different places, and each place tells the truth about what can happen inside a human heart. We sometimes hear this parable and we rush to decide which people are which soil. We think about someone stubborn and call them the path. We think about someone who's emotional and call them rocky ground. We think about someone busy and call them thorny soil. But Jesus didn't tell this parable so we could start sorting other people. He told us so we could listen. Now, the first thing to notice is the generosity of the sower. The seed is scattered widely. It doesn't fall only on good places that look ready. It falls on the path, on rocky ground, among thorns, and on good soil. That's a picture of grace. God's word comes to people before they are finished, before they are clear, before they understand everything. It comes to people before they know how to respond. The sower is not stingy. God speaks into real lives, including lives that are guarded, shallow, crowded, and tired. And that should give us hope. None of us come to Jesus as a perfect field. Every heart has mixed ground. There are places in us that are open and tender. There are places that have been walked on. There are places where faith has not grown deep enough. There are places crowded with worry, pride, anger, grief, fear, and the need to control. And Jesus knows this. He is not surprised by the condition of the field. The seed on the path shows us a heart where the word does not get in. Jesus says the message is heard but not understood, and it is snatched away. A path becomes hard because it has been pressed down again and again. Hearts can become hard the same way. Disappointment presses down. Loss presses down. Hypocrisy presses down. Harsh words press down. Sometimes a person doesn't set out to resist God. Sometimes they're just tired of being hurt, so they put up walls. But a wall that keeps pain out can also keep grace out. We may still hear the scriptures. We may still sit in church. We may still know all the hymns and prayers. Yet there may be places where the word never reaches because we have decided, maybe quietly, that that part of us is off limits. We will let God comfort us, but not correct us. We will let God forgive us, but not reshape us. We will let God bless our plans, but not change our direction. Good soil begins with honesty. Lord, I am hard here. Lord, I have stopped listening here. Lord, I have let bitterness and fear or pride pack this place down. That kind of prayer may feel small, but it's not. It is the beginning of softened ground. God's word is generously scattered, but discipleship asks us to tend the soil of our hearts. But then Jesus speaks of rocky ground. The seed springs up quickly, but it has no root. When the sun comes, the plant withers. And Jesus explains that this is the person who receives the word with joy. But trouble comes and the response doesn't last. Joy is not the problem. shallow soil is the problem. We can have moments when faith feels easy. A song touches us. A sermon encourages us. A prayer gives us peace. A new beginning fills us with hope. But moments alone will not sustain a life of discipleship. Roots matter. Sooner or later, the sun gets hot. The diagnosis comes. The relationship strains. The church disappoints. The prayer feels dry. The work becomes tiring. Following Jesus costs something. In those seasons, faith cannot live only on yesterday's emotion. It needs depth. It needs roots that have gone down deep into the mercy of God. And that this is why the ordinary practices of faith matter. Prayer, scripture, worship, communion, confession, forgiveness, service, Sabbath, and Christian friendship are not chores we do to impress God. They are ways the Spirit sends roots down into us. They help us remain when feelings change. They help us endure heat without withering. They teach us to live from grace instead of spiritual excitement. And then there's the thorny ground. The seed grows, but the thorns grow too. And eventually, the plant is choked. Jesus names the thorns as the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Not everyone is choked by obvious rebellion. Some people are choked by ordinary worry. Worry tells us it is being responsible. It says, if you care, you have to carry this constantly. We worry about our children, parents, health, money, church, work, the future, and things we cannot control. We rehearse conversations that haven't happened, and we borrow trouble from days that haven't arrived. Over time, worry wraps around the heart until the word has little room to breathe. Wealth can choke the heart too. Not because money is evil in itself, but because it can lie to us. It promises security, control, and worth. It tells us that if we can just have enough, we will finally be safe. But enough keeps moving. The heart keeps reaching. The thorns keep growing. Crowded soil may still look religious. The word has not been rejected. Growth has even begun. But beneath the surface, something else is competing for life. That's why tending the soil sometimes means pulling thorns. It means asking, what is choking my faith right now? What fear has taken too much space? What desire is crowding out obedience? What am I feeding that is starving the word? Loved ones, sometimes the holy thing is not adding more. Sometimes it's making room. It's turning off the noise. It's giving generously so money doesn't own us. It's forgiving so resentment stops spreading. It is resting so productivity doesn't become an idol. It is trusting God with what we cannot fix. Then Jesus speaks of good soil. The seed falls, it takes root, it bears fruit. Some produces 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Good soil hears and understands. It receives the word in a way that becomes visible. Good soil is not perfect soil. That is mercy. Jesus doesn't say good soil has never been walked on, never had stones, never battled thorns, and never needed tending. Good soil is receptive soil. It is soil where the word is allowed to enter, stay, grow, and bear fruit. That means good soil can happen in ordinary people with complicated lives. It can happen in tired parents, grieving widows, recovering sinners, uncertain beginners, faithful servants, and small churches trying to be faithful with what they have. Fruitfulness is not about looking impressive. It's about letting God's word take root deeply enough that grace becomes visible. The harvest isn't identical. Some produce 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Jesus doesn't shame the 30-fold harvest for not being a 100-fold harvest. God knows our seasons. He knows our wounds, our limits, our callings, and our capacity. Faithfulness may look different in different lives, but when the word takes root, fruit comes. And fruit may look like patience when frustration used to rule. It may look like courage to tell the truth, humility to apologize, generosity when fear says, hold back, or compassion toward someone others dismiss. It may look like a steadier prayer life, a quieter spirit, a deeper hunger for Scripture, or a willingness to serve without needing attention. Fruit is what grace looks like when it grows up through a human life. So the question is not only have I heard the word. Many people heard Jesus that day. The question is, what am I doing with the soil? Am I letting the path stay hard? Am I settling for shallow roots? Am I allowing thorns to take over? Or am I making room for the word to stay and grow? The sower is still sowing. God's word still comes through Scripture, worship, prayer, communion, conviction, comfort, and the quiet work of the Spirit. We don't create the seed. We do not control the harvest. But by grace, we can tend the soil. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting us with grace today. Thank you for the seed of your word and for the patient love that keeps speaking to us as we leave this space. Help us tend the soil of our hearts. Soften what is hard, deepen what is shallow, and clear what is crowded. Let your word take root in us and bear fruit through us for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.